We're going to start our sermon time. Catherine would like to rededicate herself to the Lord. So we're going to do that here first. So here she is, Catherine. You have come before God and this group to rededicate yourself to the Lord God's service. Galatians 2:20 states, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We know that you've been walking with the Lord. This is an opportunity to affirm what the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians. Christ lives in you. You proclaim faith in Jesus Christ and your desire to follow him anew. Do you believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? That Jesus Christ, the Son, suffered in your place on the cross? That he died and rose again? That he now sits at the Father's right hand until he returns to judge all people at the last day? If so, answer yes, this I steadfastly believe.
Yes, this I steadfastly believe.
Do you believe the Holy Scriptures are the inspired Word of God? That by the grace of God, every person has the ability and responsibility to choose right and wrong, and that those who repent of their sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are justified by faith? If so, answer yes, this I steadfastly believe.
Yes, this I steadfastly believe.
Yes. Do you testify to all the world that you are a Christian, that you will be a loyal follower of Christ, allowing him to be your master, submitting to his rule in your life? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
You'd like to share a little bit?
Celebration of a new life in Christ and the transforming power of Christ our Lord. Life before healing and restoration. As a toddler, I had a traumatic experience that affected my life in a very negative way. My comprehension of what happened was extremely limited. I didn't understand the changes and felt left alone, abandoned. In the past 2 to 3 years, I came to realize that I was in the past 2 to 3 years, I came to realize that it was the enemy who came in disguise that had befriended me during this time of confusion and loneliness. My life was in shambles. I was always looking for God, longing for his love and for it to be true for me. But I was damaged and broken and believed that I had committed the unpardonable sin and therefore was doomed. My heart and mind were damaged. My thinking was distorted because my beliefs were based on a foundation of lies. I believed God's love was true for others, but not for myself. It seemed that just when I was gaining or achieving some positive things in my life, that something else would happen. An example of that is in 1995, I had retinal hemorrhaging and was, short time afterwards, declared legally blind. My anger was rekindled. God loved me. From the start, he took everything that I gave him and transformed it for my best interest and his glory. Every sin, every simple mistake, every wrong choice, every bad decision, and every purposeful defiance against him. I believe our understanding of spiritual things is limited by how much we seriously invest and and the level of responsibility that we take for our personal relationship with God and the care of our soul. It took 2 years of the Healing Journey class Bible study where I began to recognize the truth and really accept and embrace it for me, that I was his beloved child. He alone has the power to heal all of the deep wounds that I carried inside for all those years, and now I've given them to him and I'm trusting him. By relinquishing command to him, I have found that he does a much better job than I did, and he is now my provider, my protector, and my power source. In my second year, when God used all the preparation from the first year of the healing journey and showed me how steeped in denial that I was and the pride that I never knew that I had, he took my life experiences and kept me in the dark and began to shed light of the light of truth. I have learned that I don't need to know why. I don't need to understand. I just need to trust God. This morning, as I was spending time with God, I asked him to give me a scripture, and he gave me the scripture in 2 Timothy. Brother, would you mind reading this for me, this part, please?
2 Timothy 1, 5 to 10. I'm reminded of your sincere faith. This is the Apostle Paul writing to young Timothy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now also lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me as his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
I praise God for everyone in this church family. This is where God chose me to be nurtured. I have been shown his love and truth became real to me at last. You all in some way touched my heart, welcoming me and positive impact in my life. I am thankful for a pastor who kept reminding me of Romans 8:1 to the point where I almost got tired of hearing it, but I couldn't fully embrace it, and there came a time when I finally got it. I mean, I knew that verse over and over and over. I've heard that verse, and Pastor faithfully reminded me of it, and there came a day when I could accept it for my own. It wasn't too awfully long ago. And I'm also thankful for his wife, who somehow, even through their difficult circumstances, still manages to keep a joyful spirit, a joyful attitude, and speak encouragement into my life. And an assistant pastor who obediently shared direction from God for me. There is an equation in the healing journey that says belief plus obedience equals blessing. God orchestrated the healing of my heart, and I gave him all of me, all of my pain, hurt, and shame. He loved me into a relationship of trust. Now my favorite time is each day when I spend time in his presence and in his word. And I just In the words of a song I want to leave you with, something beautiful, something good, all my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful.
Amen. We're going to pray for Catherine now. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for Catherine, for what a wonderful influence she has been on us, and for the growth that you have made in her. We ask you, God, that she continues to see that there is no condemnation for her in Christ Jesus. May she continue to feel that deeper and deeper inside of her. Set her free to love you and to love others, to worship you, to serve you. Set her free to be the child you have meant her to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I guess I would be remiss if I didn't just mention that the healing journey will be starting again this fall. If you would like to be part of that, there are a number of people in our church and from outside the congregation who have been through this the last 2 years that we've had it here. So it's a pretty big time commitment, and I think everyone who has gone through it has really found it to be extremely helpful. So just see Nanette, if you'd like to. Nanette, raise your hand. If nobody knows, okay. And she'll help you get signed up for it. It'll be this fall sometime. I mean, we're not going to try to do it through the summer. That's just kind of crazy, isn't it? So, as we're here today, you know, we heard Catherine express a deep and sincere faith, a deep and sincere trust in Christ Jesus. Certainly the Lord God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the center of her life. And this is how it should be. He is her life. This is how it should be. Jesus is the Savior of the world. You know, when he was walking on earth, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" It's the turning point in every one of the four Gospels. Who do you say that I am? It's the most important question that we will ever be asked to answer. Our answer to this question determines our eternal destiny. Who do we say is Jesus? You know, we don't like to admit it, and there are many in our culture who will not admit it, but we have a sin problem. It's real, and it's a severe problem. We have rebelled against the Creator of the universe. The one who gave us life, we have thumbed our nose at and turned our back to. And our life is the cost of that rebellion. The book of Romans has a series of scriptures that describe our problem and God's solution. I'd like to go through them a little bit. It's often called the Romans Road. I don't know, as we go through this, you might want to mark it in your Bible as we go. I would just like to talk through this a little bit here today. Romans 3:23 is the beginning. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. We're all in the same boat. No one is without sin. It's easier to point out the sin in others than the sin in our own lives. But we have sin in our lives too. It's more comfortable to point out the sin in others than in our own lives. But we have sin in our own lives too. Um, sin in the world and the fact that people need to understand that Jesus is our Savior is the reason we're having church in the community the next two Saturdays. It is good to help people. And I think it is great that we're going to help people stay in their homes and, you know. But the real center of all this is gaining opportunities to share Christ with people. People who need to know about Jesus. So, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. From 3:23 we go to 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Rebellion against the Creator of life costs life. But in Jesus we can be forgiven. Because of the next verse, Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our forgiveness is found in the fact that Christ died for us. Jesus died for all of us. Everybody. Jesus, God made man. God become man. God and man both. He paid that price of death for us. Only in Jesus is there forgiveness. There is no other way. Jesus died for all, and anyone who will trust and follow him will be saved. Anybody. No one has sinned so much. No one has been hurt so much. No one has fallen so far that Jesus cannot save them. So how are we saved? Well, we're saved by trusting Christ. The next verse is Romans 10:9-10. You knew that already, I know. Romans 10:9-10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. See, deep inside of us, God calls us to trust Jesus. And he helps us. It's the reversal of the rebellion. Jesus is alive, and he was dead. On the third day, he rose again. He is alive forever, and he's coming back soon. And we declare that he is Lord. He's master. He's in charge. He's ruler of our life. And you heard Catherine talk a little bit about that too. And, you know, God, whatever you want. You know, I've had a lot of people wanting to know how I'm doing. And a lot of people really struggle when I say I'm okay. And I am. Okay, I just get out of breath, right? I mean, it's not that bad. But I feel fine. But whatever's going to happen, this is in God's hand. And I really believe that. I mean, I've been talking about that almost every sermon ever since I announced the lung cancer, right? If I really want to scare myself, I'll look up all the statistics and, you know, median life expectancy and all that kind of stuff. And it's a great way to try to make myself scared. But whatever it's going to be, God has this covered. You know, honestly, my biggest struggle with this was Billy Joe. Who would take care of Billy Joe? I mean, it's my privilege, it's my joy, it's my job to take care of Billy Joe. We've been doing this for 33 years now. Okay? Actually, more like 36. Ever since we started to date, I would go out of my way to try to help her with things. Right? She walked to school, so when the weather was bad, I'd leave home early and go driving around York trying to find her. She's the only hitchhiker I ever picked up, and I'm probably the only car that she ever jumped into. She was told not to jump into cars with strangers, and nobody's stranger than me, but she still got into my car, right? But for, maybe 2 months, I don't know, month and a half, because of the toxins in me, she hasn't been able to be around me. And we've lived in two different places. I was here in the church for a couple of weeks, and then our landlord lent me an apartment for the last month. And this past week, we started living together again. I know it really sounds bad that my wife and I were separated, okay? But it wasn't, it was just because she got sick around me. I make my wife sick. Okay, wives, you can really have fun with that. Okay, I've had some friends have a ball with the idea that I make my wife sick. But, a really neat thing about that has been a couple of times when Billy Joe was struggling and I didn't know, or she was struggling and I did know but I couldn't help, God has really driven down deep into my heart the realization he will take care of her. If I die from this, and I might, well, who knows? I'm going to die someday. If I die before her, he will take care of her. So I'm okay with this. Because I trust him. God's in charge. Why do I need to insist on a different plan than what God wants for me? Why do we need to do that? I know we do. But why do we do that? Anybody who will trust Christ, anyone who will follow him will be saved. Anyone. And that leads us to our fifth verse. Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Think of the worst person in the world. If that person calls on the name of the Lord, he or she will be saved. Honestly, when I think of the worst person in the world, I think of myself. Nobody's worse than me. But I trust Christ. I follow him. He is Lord, he is master, and I am saved. Which leads us to, back to what we could add back in there again, Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I didn't put that one up. I wasn't planning on that. But it's actually a pretty nice way to end it. No condemnation. We are forgiven. Yeah. Our sure and certain hope. We are saved in Christ Jesus. It is a done deal when we trust and follow Christ. If we will put our faith in him, it is done. If there's anything we need to know, of all the knowledge, and we're in the age of knowledge, of all the knowledge we could find, of all the things Google can access, what we need to know are these verses. And that in Christ Jesus we are forgiven. It's what our friends need to know, what our neighbors need to know. So why do we help people? Well, this is the answer. If anybody asks you next weekend or the weekend after, why are you doing this? You could give them the whole Romans Road if they're willing to listen. Or just, Jesus loves you, he loves me, and we want you to see his love. Sinner! No, just don't do it. But we want you to see his love. So what about you? Just as you're sitting here yet, do you trust and follow Christ? Do you trust him with everything? No matter what he does, is it okay? Do you trust that he's alive? Do you proclaim that he is Lord? God, whatever you want. Today is the day to do those things. Today is the day to settle it with God. I think one of the most powerful times I had It was with another preacher. I hate to say that. It's a few years ago, and I was in California with Heather. I'd helped her to help her move her, all of her stuff out there, and the pastor at the church where she attends was talking, and I don't have a clue anymore what he talked about. But I remember thinking about Billy Joe and her health and all that, and I said to him, God, however this works out, whatever happens with her, it doesn't change us. You and me, God, it doesn't affect my relationship with you. And it was a very profound experience. And since then, other things have come up. And like with this cancer, God, whatever happens with this, it doesn't change my relationship with you, Lord. And that's where we need to get. One step at a time. God, whatever you want. I would like that for all of us. Andrew would like to pray here at the end of the service.
All right, now I'm mobile. All right, so as we've been talking and, you know, thinking about Rick and his situation, having cancer, more and more on my mind and my heart, we need to pray for him. We have a calendar being spread around to pray for him the next few months. We need to lift him and his family up in prayer. And, you know, laying on hands is in the Bible. And I want to invite everyone up today for us to lay hands on our Pastor Rick, our friend, our mentor, our teacher, man who stood by us for many years. And pray for him. Pray for his situation. And I ask that you continue to pray for that on these ongoing months.